Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Sean Weiss and Natanya Ross, two very successful childhood actors, you know, the Mighty Ducks. Sean was on that for all three of those movies. A very interesting story about addiction and Hollywood and fame and all that. Also, we have the news coming up as well. First, there's Geico. Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance, they are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
It's time for Nicaraguan Name That Movie with Adam's buddy Oswaldo. See if you can guess which movie this famous line is from.
Nicaragua.
If you said The Hammer.
Nicaragua.
You're correct. Now, back to the show.
Sean Weiss is here. Natanya Ross is here as well. Both very busy and famous child stars who then found addiction and hard times and occasional imprisonment, but are now on the road to recovery and sober and have a very interesting story. So thank you for coming in and sharing the story with us.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Let's start with Sean. You started off, I believe, at age 5 doing a Jell-O commercial with Bill Cosby.
Yes.
So that are you from L.A.?
I'm from New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess there was a talent scout holding some kind of open casting call. And so my mom took me into that. And very shortly after, I did that Jell-O pudding commercial with Cosby. And I guess I did about 8 or 9 Jell-O spots with him.
So you were the Jell-O kid.
For a while.
You really were.
Yeah, for a while.
When did the Mighty Ducks come around? How old were you when that started?
I guess I was 13. There's a line in the movie where he talks about you're going to become a man, so that's typically 13, right? Bar mitzvah. So I guess I was 13, and then from 13 to 16, we did Mighty Ducks.
So you did all three of them.
Yeah.
And Natanya, you started out where?
I was 6 months old.
So,
I know.
Non-consenting actor.
It's crazy. We were just on another podcast. They said, like, when did you, you know, decide you wanted to do this? And I think I was already just so in it by the time I was cognizant of what was actually happening. So, yeah, I started at 6, also doing commercials. I'm from New Jersey also, Asbury Park. And, yeah, we were in L.A. by the time I was 8 years old and just, like, a steadily working young actor.
When did you break out? What was the first big role?
So I did a lot of Broadway in Manhattan, and then I got a show out here in California called Billy, and it was starring Billy Connolly. And that was it. That was my big one.
Network sitcom.
Yeah.
You guys remember Billy
Connolly? Yeah.
Yeah. He was
from Head of the Class.
Thinking man's comic.
British guy, irreverent.
He was kind of Ricky Gervais before
yes.
Ricky Gervais,
yes.
Like more interesting, thoughtful, kind of cool. Oh, yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah.
So you did that. So you guys.
You possibly just revived his whole career.
I think I may have brought him back.
Yeah.
You guys come out from New Jersey, come out to L.A., and does the whole family transfer?
I came out here just to be like on a TV show, and while I was out here, my mom sold our house.
Oh, boy.
And she didn't like check with us to get permission or anything. And all my stuff sold. Hey, how you doing? Sold all my stuff. All my shit was in. So I moved out here kind of by force. I don't know about you.
But the acting roles were coming around and money was coming in.
Yeah, when I came out here, I think my mom had a very distinct plan to like make me a star. So there was no question. Once I got Billy, we moved out here, and She asked me, she said, do you want to go back to New York and try theater again? And I said, let's just give it a year. And in that year, everything really took off, and we never went back.
Well, you got the Babysitter Club and Freaky Friday and a bunch of movies and TV shows. Yeah. So when, and we'll start with Sean, when did it start to come undone for you?
I don't know. That's kind of like a long, maybe like a 5 or 6 year stretch you might be talking about. But basically, when it really started to come undone for me with drug addiction was about 5 years ago in my late 30s. And I just got into a situation where several things happened in my life. I lost my dad. I had a bad breakup. And I found hard drugs for the first time, and it kind of just made me feel better.
You found hard drugs for the first time a little bit late in life for most people, right?
Definitely. I had never even seen it before I was 36.
What drug or drugs did you find?
All of them.
At once.
Yeah.
Because I was missing some drugs, and I was wondering what happened.
They're usually in the same vicinity.
Them?
Yeah.
Can I have them back?
But I, unfortunately, got addicted to meth and heroin. So I know you gave me credit for the heroin before, but you didn't give me credit for the meth.
Meth, the most insidious, and I also can't. I mean, if you did sort of a food pyramid of drugs, you know, you got like
you should
sort
do
of,
that.
Yeah,
you got like pot, you know, and it's like, well, all right, you know.
That's your base, that's your grains.
You'll eat the food pyramid,
and even you know, other there's other mushrooms and other drugs like that, but. Meth seems to just destroy everyone faster than any other drug. And it's also, I don't know if anyone's ever done speed. It's kind of off-putting if you're not into it.
Yeah, totally.
Like,
it makes you
like
act
when
like
people go,
ass.
Like, I haven't gone to bed for 5 days, sounds like the most... You know, look, if you talk to any, and I've talked to many Navy SEALs, and you talk to them about essentially going down to Coronado Island and being tortured for 4 months. And what they get tortured by is they have to pick up some Zodiac raft and run in the sand, you know, with four guys and do push-ups with a – they'll take a mask full of seawater and put it on them and then tell them to go out and do push-ups with a mask full of seawater. And they'll tell them to go tread water for 24 hours in the ocean, stuff like that. But if you talk to any of those guys, they'll go – the worst is at the end, you have to stay up for 1 week.
Sleep
one
deprivation.
Week?
That
could, like, kill you, I thought.
Stay up for, you know, maybe it's 6 days or something like
right
that.
Right up to the point.
With some weird intermittent, like, you can close your eyes for 20 minutes and come back or something. But they just go, the worst part is none of the physical shit. It's all the, we have to stay up for 1 week.
Sean did that for free.
I know.
Well, people say, they talk about not sleeping for a week. I mean, without exaggeration, I'm sure I went for stretches where I probably didn't sleep for a month or two. And you know, like I'd, you know, nod off somewhere for about an hour, but I didn't sleep for months.
No meaningful sleep.
Exactly, yeah.
And it, I mean, honestly, you miss... You get a bad night, you know, you get sleep deprived 2 days minus any drugs.
Can't
and you're just psychotic. Like, you cannot sleep.
Well, now
think
that I'm
straight.
Clean, I can't imagine. Like, I miss one night of sleep and I'm thrown. So I can't even. We were just talking about this at lunch. Like, looking back on our old lives, it's
wild.
It's hard to imagine it like that was us, really.
What happened? What's your drug related story, Natanya, by the way?
Yeah. So I got into it pretty young, and I was a. You know, in my teenage years, I was a Nickelodeon kid. So.
This is not a competition. You don't have to beat me in everything.
Everything.
Like,
I stayed up for 11 days.
I win. So I had a lot of pressure on me in, like, kind of the public eye, which was very different in the 90s. There's, you know, nothing like what it is now. But I was expected to behave like a good Nickelodeon kid. So I think I really started to rebel against that young. And, yeah, by the time I was, like, 18, 19 years old, I was strung out on heroin. And with that came a lot of other drugs and a lot of other experiences that, as a kid on television, if you had told me that's what my life would look like just 5 years later, it would have been, you know, more than I could handle. So, yeah, by the time I was 30, I was already sober. You know, I had done the stints in rehab and in and out of AA and all of that stuff and finally got it when I was 30 years old. So I have definitely a different experience.
Were you good at hiding it? Because I feel like Nickelodeon and your mom would have some things to say about it.
Well, I mean, Yeah, my mom.
She blamed it on the slime.
Oh, sure.
She's like,
yeah,
I know
she said, I don't
like
know
shit.
Too many times.
Yeah. My mom's kind of a different story. But yeah, I mean, I definitely got in trouble. You know, I would show up on set with just doing the wildest things. I remember one time in the middle of filming an episode, I cut off all my hair and bleached it blonde just because I was like, fuck you guys, I could do whatever whatever I want.
Wow.
And promptly got called up to Nickelodeon executives and the creator of the show. And but aside from that, yeah, I was getting really good at hiding it. And by the time I was 19, 20 and lost my career completely, I was no longer like caring whether or not I could hide it. So I just hid myself. I just completely removed myself from like any semblance of a social life and a real life that I had ever had, and kind of went to these dark places that we tend to go to in downtown LA and just crazy shit that feels like a whole other person in a whole other lifetime, but it's mine, you know, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking to Dave Navarro in here not too long ago about just what you'd have to do to get drugs and the places you would go and the people you'd get them from and the parts of town they were in.
And what you'd end up ingesting, knowing it's probably not drugs, but okay, maybe it'll get me high. He said he like ground up concrete, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Especially
yeah.
now with fentanyl. It's yeah. crazy.
Oh, I thank God that was not.
Oh, if fentanyl was a thing, you probably would have OD'd for sure, right?
We'd be dead.
I got off drugs like right as that stuff was hitting the street.
Right.
Otherwise, I probably definitely would have been a casualty. Mm.
And working in treatment now, I mean, every kid that's coming in, every person that's coming into us, it's all fentanyl. And we're hearing something every day that someone has passed away. I mean, friends. I mean, it's crazy. This epidemic of fentanyl is unreal.
Yeah, we know where it's coming in from. It's coming in from Mexico. We know the Chinese are helping out, and it's coming across the border. I don't know why there's not a bigger focus on it, but there doesn't seem to be. I mean, we talk about fentanyl, how bad it is, but we don't really go, you know, like the politicians are like, hey, there's a school shooting. We want to go after the gun manufacturers or go after, we want to make some laws or whatever. All right, well, if everyone's dying of fentanyl, who's manufacturing the fentanyl? Where's it coming from?
And slow your roll, buddy.
Yeah.
I didn't know where it was coming from, and I've actually been wondering about that because it just seems like a bad move for a drug dealer
to
put something in there that's way dangerous.
Yeah, that part definitely doesn't make sense.
Much more potent, for life.
Cheaper, yeah.
Don't kill them.
It's bad business.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think the story is it's the Chinese labs, and either the China, I've spoken to a few experts about this, the Chinese either they're setting up labs in Mexico or they just, the Chinese make it and bring it in through Mexico, and then they bring it across here.
They're cloning fentanyl now.
And what happens is there are these little nuggets that when they don't get properly pulverized into a pill or whatever it is, and people are getting a chunk of it versus a dusting of it, and that's where the ODing comes from.
Yeah.
But it's hairy, it's scary. And I don't know. So what do you guys think?
Well, you're saying the quality control at the Mexican-Chinese drug manufacturer is not
what it used to be.
We're not going to stand for this slander.
So we're I don't know. I feel like drugs, so many despondent. It's like every story is like every teenage girl between the, you know, over the age of 13 and under 20 is fucking suicidal and picking at themselves and doing drugs and committing suicide and ODing. Like, it seems like I know this stuff always existed. I don't think it existed to this extent. And I don't know if you guys have some thoughts on that.
Oh, no. I mean, we're looking at a totally different world now. I think, you know, there's a mental health epidemic that coincides with the fentanyl epidemic and everything else that's going on. And there's a lot of untreated mental health that, I mean, I've never seen anything like this. It feels like you can't even touch it to make a dent in it. And it's horrible. It's, very scary.
Well, then you have families like, you know, the Sacklers and stuff that aren't making. So it's coming in from another border and it's coming in from
here.
Corporate, big pharma, whatever.
Yeah, that's so how I got started. I mean, I got in a car accident when I was 17 with one of my best friends, Jenna. And, you know, we were kids and they prescribed us all this Vicodin and Valium for like a scratch on our arm, and we didn't know what it was, and we started taking it, and it was fucking awesome. So we kept taking it, and then one day it turns into something else, you know?
There's definitely a Vicodin gene, which everyone seems to possess, or they don't. And it doesn't really matter what age you get started. I've heard so many stories about the guy who's like 55, straight arrow, never did any drugs, and he had back surgery. Then he got the Vicodin. Then he moved out to the street.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not the same as, you know, cigarettes, booze, there's pot, even there's kind of a window. If you get past the window, you're not going to take it up in your 50s. But Vicodin.
Yeah, I noticed that people, I'm sorry.
No,
I noticed that people, as soon as if they take an opiate and they feel nauseous, they're not an opiate person.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you don't feel nauseous, then be careful. You could definitely slide down a slippery slope.
Yeah,
I never liked Vicodin.
Same.
Lucky.
Good for you. Lucky.
You don't have any like in a medicine cabinet somewhere, do you?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, from like I just had surgery and all this stuff, and they prescribe it, and I could take it or leave it. I'd rather leave it.
Right.
You could just take your extra strength Tylenol and get on with your life. So I'm lucky. That's just not my wiring. But people in my family aren't that lucky. So you don't know.
And Dr. Drew says that the wiring of the folks of the Jewish persuasion is for the pharmaceutical stuff.
Oh,
a little less with the booze, a little less with the pot.
And sodium.
A little more.
That's so interesting because I'm Jewish.
People have wiring. Like American Indian, that's booze wiring.
Wow,
yeah. That's interesting.
Drew, am I right about that?
Right.
Right. So the Native American, that populace would be more, you know, fire water,
that makes
right?
sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then for the Jews, that's more prescription
medication. Manischewitz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then also easy to get because, you know, your brother's a doctor, right? I mean, if you're Jewish, right?
Crazy.
He's checked out.
That's what Dr. Drew sounds like when we're doing a podcast and he's in New York and he's looking at his phone the entire time pretending like he's engaged
in
a conversation.
No, the phone is not on, the TV is not on. I'm listening to you.
No, you're not, Drew. You're looking at your phone pretending like you're doing a podcast. And
now
you're scrolling.
Now I don't know whether or not Drew is actually on the phone or not.
Well, let's ask Drew. Are you on the phone?
Crazy.
Well, I thought you'd be on the phone.
That's really a straight answer.
I thought you'd be on the phone sometimes.
Sometimes I do. I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. So,
anyway,
it hits. I just got hand surgery 2 weeks ago, and they gave me Vicodin. And I took it a couple of nights where my hand was throbbing before I went to bed, but it just wasn't a... You know, it's a kind of take it or leave it, or it'll be, I guess, actually, it's the appropriate use of it. If you got major hand surgery and your hand is throbbing, then you take one and you go to bed. But I didn't wake up the next morning wanting to.
Crazy.
And that's
And
that
I think
the
that
problem.
Speaks to the aspect of this problem that is about mental health. Because for a lot of us, the drug is just a release from whatever, you know, problems where we can't deal with. So, you know, in that the physical euphoria wasn't enough to hook you and isn't enough for some people, it's that added element of being, you know, a stress relief.
So when you have something that you're running toward the pill and running away from something else, it's the perfect combination.
It's also the perfect chemical equation to, like, get that part of your brain that just won't stop saying, like, you're not good. You're not good. You're not enough. You're not all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. It like quiets it for just long enough so you can go like, I can fucking breathe.
Right.
Like that's what pain pills do for people like us.
They showed us a tape in rehab that was really helpful and kind of helped me get a broader perspective on my own situation. So it was a tape about this thing they called the hedonic scale. Are you guys familiar? So it's a scale that sort of measures your pleasure, whatever.
Like hedonism.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I think that's probably what it – and so on an average day, a regular guy, Adam, walking around is like 80. That's not the number, but I'm just making that up. 80. If you're depressed, that number's 60. If you've just fell in love and you're about to get laid, it's like 100. If you do meth, it's 1,200.
It's 1,200 out of 100, basically.
Right. Yeah.
So that's what you're dealing with. So.
Wow.
I'm basing this on nothing but intuition, but doesn't it seem like someday, hopefully soon, we'll be able to like map that human genome and see what the who has the genes for addiction, right?
Yeah.
Who's like predisposed,
or
I mean, we'll be able to take a blood test or whatever test and figure it out.
Well, and I don't know if this is a direct comparison. This is not my area of expertise, but that's why I think a lot of people refer to addiction as an allergy, because some people are just allergic to it. It's going to make you want to do it more, you know.
Yeah,
it's
like, sure, it's a predisposition,
right?
Exactly.
Well, I think you have a 50-50 shot if you come from alcoholics to have it. Mm. At least as I recall with Drew, like if one parent or the other has it, then or both, then you got a 50% chance. It doesn't mean you're going to be an alcoholic. It just means you'll get some momentum.
Well,
and maybe you shouldn't. What, Drew?
Right.
You said you're right.
That's correct then. Yeah. So Sean, you have this acting career. You're doing all these big movies. The drugs set in. At some point, you're incarcerated. I have a very dear friend, a very old friend, who had a real drug problem, and he got incarcerated, and he says it saved his life because when he's just out on the street doing drugs, he for sure was going to die. You know, we do this thing all the time. We're like, the answer isn't to incarcerate these drug addicts. It's like, for some of them,
yeah,
it might save them.
No, it's like poor man's rehab, really.
Right.
And when you're there in jail and you look around, it's like everybody needs to be there. Like, there's nobody in jail where you're looking and you see that guy and you're like, you know, that guy's doing fantastic. He doesn't feel like he needs to be here. So definitely a lot of people are in jail. In L.A. County Jail, I would say 95% of the guys are there because of a drug-related situation, something they did when they got loaded or something they had to do to get loaded. So,
yeah, you had to steal. I mean, you're unemployable and you have a habit, right?
Yeah, and there's other things that I wouldn't do. You know what I mean? Like, I probably didn't have to steal if I didn't, if there was like some lines I didn't want to cross. Do you know what I mean?
No.
I'm trying to say I wouldn't
gay
suck
porn?
Dick for drugs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I didn't know how to say that. How do I say that?
Because you get the Mighty Ducks goalie outfit on and head down to West Hollywood.
That's a moneymaker
right
there.
Like,
yeah.
I didn't know about OnlyFans.
I was going to say OnlyFans.
I was working way too hard out there to support my habit, and I know this. I know this now.
So you got caught for stealing about $150 worth of stuff at an electronics store?
Yeah.
Which used to be enough to...
Yeah.
Get you into trouble in California?
Not now, no.
No, not now.
Now you have to steal like $5,000 or $6,000 worth.
At least $900 for them to even follow you out the door.
At gunpoint.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, no, cops would, I would get arrested and the general attitude would just be a general, just we wish we weren't here having to do this. But I'd have cops like, I feel like I got so lucky. Probably the best part about being in the Mighty Ducks was that the LA deputies... Sheriff's deputies are huge Mighty Ducks fans.
Nice.
So, like, they would hook me up with, like, extra peanut butter and...
Oh, when you're inside.
Yeah, you know, the perks, the important things. So, no, I had cops, like, take me to McDonald's on the way to jail and stuff. So.
Oh, really? They recognize you.
Yeah, I mean, like, I got really lucky.
Yeah, know? Yeah, you got to... A four-leaf clover up your ass.
But jail was
cops
horrible.
Take me to Mickey D's on the way to the prison.
That's so. But that was really what was enough of a deterrent to get me to want to get clean, because I can't stand jail, you know?
Yeah, what was that like? Where were you?
Oh, God, jail is horrible. I was just in L.A. County.
You're
a lot
Twin
of
Towers?
Time. Yeah.
Ugh, horrible.
Yeah, and I did some – I was up in Marysville for about 50 days or so. Jail is jail is so bad. I mean, I got beat up 4 times just in the waiting room for jail, like just to wait to get in jail, and I'm not kidding.
How did that work?
Well, usually a guy just tees up, and you know how he – tucks his elbows.
But does he have a beef? You know, does he come
I got,
at
the
you?
First time I got punched in jail, I laid down on the floor next to some guy, and I guess he thought I was too close to him.
Mm.
And he said something to me, and I didn't really hear what he said. And by the time I could be like, what was that? He just jacked me right in my face.
So there wasn't enough beds, so you just lay down on the floor?
There aren't beds.
Oh,
and
there aren't.
When you're in holding for like sometimes 17, 18 hours, guys just pass out on the floor. So there was a lot of that going on.
I don't know when the Twin Towers downtown were built. Everyone says it's a shit show over there.
Oh, my God.
You know, we are Los Angeles, California. It is 2022, and we're always talking about this surplus, like California has stuff. Can we build something that's like a little more, I don't know, sanitary?
Hey, we
build
LA Live. Come on.
We have like big cages where scary people go to pick at themselves because they're coming off of drugs and then fight amongst each other with no place to sit down. Like, I don't know, feel like we could do better.
And there's a lot of money coming in, too. It's not like, you know, these are charitable operations.
Right.
Right. So you went in there, you stayed. How much time did you do total?
I had one of the luxury suites for about 5 weeks one time. And the longest I ever did, I guess, was about 80 days.
And what's the schedule like on an average day? And are you in protective custody?
I do. When I get to L.A. County Jail, they K-10 me, which means like maximum level protective custody.
Mm-hmm.
So, which is usually reserved for guys, you know, who have killed multiple people, and they walk around in the orange suit, and they just have me in that suit because they know that if I'm in general population, probably some shit will go down.
So, it's designated by the color of the suit?
Well, the guys in orange are like, keep away, like, you gotta stay away from these guys.
And everyone else, I wish I had that for dating.
You know what I mean? I mean, they do.
A chick wearing the traffic cone on her head? Steer fucking clear.
No fans.
It's a nightmare.
I mean, I think if you showed up wearing an orange jumpsuit, people would
do the trick. Right. They'd get the point.
They have another color for the sort of general pop guys, and that's the way
Yeah, that's blue, general pop. Then there's powder blue, and that's for the, you know, the gayer guys.
Really?
Wow.
Wow. It's kind of like the deck of an aircraft carrier. Yeah,
exactly,
you know?
Like that.
But the craziest thing, and this blew my mind, like right when you get there and you're about to go into like the dorm, when you get to jail, you have to join a gang.
For real?
For real. Like you got to declare what gang you're in. And I just was not, I didn't know. I was like, do they have a child actor gang? Yeah. How's it? Where do I sign up? And then literally.
They might.
They should. There's like a guy that's like the head of the department in charge of like recruiting newcomers. And
who's
it's like.
Who's a prisoner?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but he's like in charge
outreach.
Of like
he's
selling.
Got the table with the brochures on it. Why?
Yeah.
Why the lowriders are happening now?
At one
now.
Point, I felt like I was getting courted by like CAA or something. And I know they knew that if I went with them, like having Goldberg in your gang is definitely some street cred on some level.
Oh, yeah.
So,
so how's that work?
I went with Southside.
There's a guy that's kind of running the yard, the area, the tank, the whatever, and he's going to decide what group you go with?
No, you're going to decide.
Well, yeah, but he's going to help you make that decision.
I mean, he gives you his best pitch, and I don't know what his incentive is for recruiting you, you know, other than like I just mentioned.
But you have to take up with some group.
You got to pick
you
one.
You can't be independent.
You can't do independent, yeah.
Did you get a tattoo?
I didn't.
That's nice.
I didn't.
Well, what group did you go with?
I felt like if
did
I...
Did you pledge?
I went Southside.
Southside.
Because they were the... I felt like they shared food best. Like they was always concerned with like, are you hungry, Holmes? Like, that kind of shit.
So race really didn't come into play?
Well, no, I like Mexicans too.
But I mean, you're even allowed to be...
You can... Can you be... Yeah, I think you can... I don't know. That's a good question.
Well, there is
no
Jewish gang, right?
There isn't. I think that would be black or other. That's
your other.
Yeah, there's a category for other.
Well, okay. So in Kansas City, there's the BBYO, the B'nai B'rith Youth Organization. So you probably would have been, you know,
my clique.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, it's always weird because I feel like we understand how bad prison is when. It's totally segregated. You got the Crips and the Bloods and the Lowriders and the South Street guys.
And
they're all, they're all whacked up. And then we come to the outside, and that's where we're essentially trying to run a version of that out here. Like, as a black woman, as a Latinx woman, as a lesbian, it's like, oh, that's what we're doing now? We're just going to segregate everybody.
Just pretend it's the yard.
And you don't think something bad is going to come from turning every group into their own group, and then people start saying, I'm in charge of this group, and I'm going to fight for my group, and I'm going to get my group more.
Less weightlifting on this side.
Yeah, you know, if it's not a good idea in prison, why would we want to export it out? So you get with the Southsiders?
Yeah, I went Southside.
Where you get a little more smooth peanut butter out of that crew?
Yeah, and they had this one machine that impressed the fuck out of me, where they rigged their metal bunk bed and turned it into a frying pan, a giant frying pan to, upon which to fry the bologna.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which is another trick that L.A. County plays on the prisoners, because not only you got 1,000 sweaty guys locked in a room, but you're feeding them hard-boiled eggs and bologna.
Oh.
That's for real, and that's the only food option.
What was breakfast, lunch, and dinner?
Breakfast is like a hard-boiled egg thrown at you, and some cereal, and for lunch you get a bologna sandwich with a bag of Lay's. And yeah, you know,
the like
Lay's,
a field trip.
I would trade my Lay's for cereal a lot, and for dinner I remember eating dinner a lot. I don't think there is a dinner. I think the three hots and a cot is bullshit. I think it's just two lukewarms and a steel
and a frying pan.
Yeah. Weren't you hungry all the time?
All the time. That's all anybody is in jail. You're freezing all the time and hungry. And I think it's because it's a good way to keep people, you know, subservient. Or was that the word I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Because, you know, if a guy's fed and warm, he's more likely to, you know, fuck with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're just starving the whole time. Unless you get somebody to put some money on your books, and then it's all ramen noodles. Why do I feel like I didn't want to be, like, the authority on what it's like to be in
I'm learning. So someone can put some family member, a friend, could put some money in your account.
Yeah.
And then you could go to the snack shack and get some ramen noodles.
It's all in. It comes in. You order, and it gets dropped off to you.
Now, right. If people, I'm trying to weigh this against everything I've ever seen on TV, both reality and otherwise. If people find out that you have money on your commissary, do they try and roll you for that?
They could probably possibly do that.
But you didn't have that.
I didn't really have to fuck with that because I was K-10.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
All right, K-10.
The presidential suite.
Right. But Jill really, I'm going to say, it corrected my facility. When I'm in the middle of a day and I'm depressed or I get frustrated, I literally taught myself to think about what it's like to be locked up in a jail cell, and it makes me feel better. Yeah. It's like air is nice.
Yeah. I do the same. I think of being at home with my parents when I was 12 and going, oh, now I feel better about my lot in life.
Look how far you've come.
So let's talk about the organization, because you guys got a nonprofit here going, Hope of the Valley. Are we talking about the San Fernando Valley or any valley?
No, that's the rescue mission, like right down the street from here.
Yeah, it's right here. So the San Fernando Valley Feed the Homeless, that's my nonprofit. I started that 10 years ago with just kind of like the hope of providing a couple meals to people on the streets and a little hope. And, you know, I've been in a rescue mission line on Thanksgiving waiting to get like a box of juice, a pair of socks, and a little sandwich, just kind of looking around at your life like, how the fuck did I get here? This is
so insane. You're in line, you're not handing it out, you're
once in line, yeah, getting it on Thanksgiving. You know, I mean, that's, I want to say demoralizing, but it's not really the word. It's just like kind of this like emptiness in the soul that's so heavy. It's like, it's kind of hard to explain, but I never forgot how that felt. And I think kind of my saving grace in recovery has always just been to lead with a heart of service. So, yeah, 10 years ago, I was just driving around the valley, and I was like, fuck, there's a lot of homeless people in the valley, and everybody's so focused on Skid Row and Venice and Santa Monica. I just got a couple friends together, and I said, what can we do? And we raised, like, $150 and bought, you know, 80 sandwiches that day. And then I really realized that it just takes one person to inspire another, to inspire another. And then you have like a crew of people that want to do something. And we weren't like unrealistic about it. We know we can't eradicate the homeless, you know, epidemic, another epidemic that we're looking at right now. But to just make a dent is more than most people are willing to do. So we started there. And then 10 years later, now we fed, I don't know, close to 500,000 people. It's, you know, we got a little stuck. So where Hope of the Valley comes in is we got a little stuck during the pandemic because the events that we throw are like 200-300 people. We try and invite people from 12-step community in so they can have the experience of, like, going back on the street and handing out food and seeing that, like, just like Sean said, like, if you're having a horrible day, which I, you know, I can still get caught up in this too. It doesn't matter if I'm sober or not. You forget that there's people living on the street that don't even have basic human needs right now, like a shower, a toilet, all of that stuff. So in the pandemic, we got stuck because I couldn't throw the events. And somebody had mentioned Hope of the Valley to me, and I looked them up and saw that they were raising money to build tiny home communities for the homeless population. So basically to bring somebody that's homeless on the street into the shelter of a tiny home. And because I work in treatment, I really wanted to know what else was going on, because it's, you know, listen, it's one thing to take somebody off the street and just put them in a home, but that's not enough, right? Like, we have to provide services so a person can hopefully eventually get to their permanent housing. So they're providing 3 meals a day, counseling, job training, therapeutic services, addressing psychiatric needs. They were giving people vaccines if they wanted it. If they had abscesses on their body, they were getting them to the hospital and getting them medically fixed up. And I was blown away by what they were doing. I thought it was so beautiful. So I kind of got involved. You know, I have a little bit of a platform, right? And I wanted to do something with it. And I brought my friends into it, like Sean and some of our other friends. And, yeah, we were able to fundraise enough money to sponsor 3 of these homes. And I got to decorate them. So I put little crystals and sage and, like, you know, my headshot. No, I'm just kidding. And, you know, we just got to get really involved with all of this. And we got to go down and actually meet the people that moved into the homes. That was, like, a next level for me. And
is it meant to be permanent, more or less, or is that kind of transitional?
It's transitional. So here was the really cool thing, too. I was concerned that, like, well, when you bring somebody in, how quickly are you going to kick them out, right?
Right.
So the sponsorship is actually only $3,000 for the longevity of their entire stay there. So they can stay a year in that tiny home if they want to. But there's a team of people, counselors, case managers, that are advocating for these people to, you know, they're getting them new clothes, job, all of this stuff. So this is the last thing they ever have to do before they're handed keys to permanent housing. Wow. And they're working with Section 8 and all of that kind of stuff, too, to make sure they can help this person get to the permanent housing. Because it's just – it's one thing to take someone off the street, throw them in a tiny home and say, hey, good luck. But these people –
happy masturbating.
Yeah, right? Or, you know. So it's an incredible organization. And we've been doing
– speaking of masturbating, when you're in that – sea of humanity with the scent of fried bologna wafting over your head.
Musk.
How does a man satisfy himself? Is that a shower activity?
I'll be honest with you.
I'm going to look away. I don't want to watch him.
I thought, you know, all that stuff about the showers and don't drop the soap. And I thought that was just in the movie.
Oh, boy.
However,
you know.
Dot, dot, dot.
It's odd. Adam, you're looking at me like you're almost frightened. Like,
do you see stuff going on in the showers?
I mean, you know, it's not a great place to shower.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You want to shower somewhere else. Yeah.
The more you know.
The more you know.
I forgot.
Is there any did you get your own cell? Or was it always, like, in the tank with a...
Yeah, no, I at one point I did have my own cell.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that's where...
Yeah, no, it felt like a hotel suite.
Wow.
Once it you got nice. Your hotel. I mean, right. Once you got your own cell.
Right, it was
versus
nice.
Versus being in the tank with everyone.
And I think they had me in the hospital, so it was, like, glass doors. I was in, like, the hospital wing.
Oh, sweet.
So they could keep an additional eye on me. So it wasn't, you know, awful.
Well, let me give the website out. It is hopeofthevalley.org, and you can go there and find out all that they're doing to help. All right. I think we should take a quick break, and we'll come back. We'll do the news. You guys hang in and crack wise with the news.
Available now for pre-order, Adam's 6th book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Advice, answers, but no apologies.
It's insane. I blame everybody but me.
Adam drops knowledge, rants, and laughs, answering actual questions from you, the listener, and some celebrity friends. Follow the link at adamcarolla.com to purchase on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or through IndieBound to find your local independent bookseller. Everything reminds me of something. Coming this summer, wherever finer books are sold.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala. Meet news with Gina, Gina Grad.
News with Gina Grad.
Yeah, from one Jewish theater nerd to another. Oh. We're going to have to talk about your stint on Broadway because okay, I haven't forgotten about that.
I tried to.
Also, when you're talking about the tiny homes, we talked about this, I think, once on the show because I saw it on the news where a woman said, like, you know, they're saying, like, how grateful people are for it and what is it doing for you? And, of course, I have shelter and I have this. And one woman was like, I have an address. I can get a job. You can't get a job without an address.
That's yeah. it right there.
So that was, like, yeah. a really big deal.
Huge deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very
yeah.
cool.
Well, you can work construction.
And get an address.
Yeah. At least you could.
Yeah.
Maybe not anymore.
Well, we're going to talk about Kevin Spacey again because those charges have come to fruition, the new ones.
Oh, yeah.
He's been charged with four counts of sexual assault against three men in London over different periods of time. Now, we know that the word sexual assault has become sort of an umbrella term. It could mean many, many things. I'll just let you know that one of the charges is engaging in penetrative sexual activity without consent.
So yeah, well, that's more
I think
than-
that's what's –
than Al Franken.
I mean, that's right. bad enough with consent.
That's true.
That's right.
Right, even with the proper forms.
Yeah. No, you're right. He's due at the Westminster Magistrates Court this week. The charges follow a review of evidence gathered by the police, and this is over different years. One was in 2005 up to 2008, and they weren't all non-consensual penetration, but there was at least one.
You know, we're talking about drugs a lot, like hoping you would hope that your kid doesn't get the alcoholic gene and the life that would happen. But super horny gene, that's a career killer too.
Yeah, that's not a good one either.
It'll undo your fucking marriage. Yeah. It'll fuck up your career. Like if you're just that fucking dude who's got that horny hamster wheel spinning hard all the time.
You'll become a disgraced producer.
Yes. Like you know, we go like, oh, these guys are criminals. These guys are rapists. These guys are whatever. But yeah, that's where it ends up. It starts off with the super horny gene. Like, I got to fucking get some. Like, had some roommates that had the super horny gene. You look out the window at 4 in the morning, there's a fat chick in the hot tub, and you're just thinking, come on, man. I told you to go to bed. It'll get you into trouble. There's
Sounds
a gay
like
version.
Yeah.
There's a straight version. There's a, you know, wreck your marriage version of it. It's just that weird, like, all guys like being with either guys or women, or depends in prison.
Go
sometimes
ahead.
You can alter your course a little bit there. But there's only like a handful of guys that just need it all. Yeah. They gotta have it all the fucking time.
Well, isn't that what your hands for? I mean, don't they make fleshlights?
That's what my hands for.
Got it.
That's what one's hand is for.
On your junk.
Understood. Okay.
But the guys, that's the problem. The hand, no good.
No bueno.
I mean, it's good for us. It's not good for them. They gotta go out and get some.
Right.
And
get some
they
strange.
Then they get into trouble.
Understood.
And then the problem is they're so fucking horny all the time that when the answer is like no or back off, they keep going.
They
keep
switch
going.
Has been flipped,
That's right. That's where the hand comes in.
So, yeah, he's going to go. He's going to London to appear. So we'll see what happens now with Kevin. Some Lizzo news. Lizzo, everyone, you know, the patron saint of like inclusiveness is called out on something that she did in a song. And she is going to rectify it. She's been accused of using an ableist slur in one of her tracks from a song called Girls. And she shared an apology and released a new version. I will tell you the slur in a moment. In a Twitter post on Tuesday, Lizzo said an updated version of the song was released after it was brought to her attention that one of the lyrics is a harmful word. She said, let me make one thing clear. I never want to promote derogatory language. As a black, fat woman in America, I've had many hurtful words used against me. So I understand the power words can have. So what was the word?
Ableist.
It was an ableist word.
No, I know, but that's a new – that's a title for those ableism. Who are not confined to a wheelchair.
Correct. So I'm going to play you a very short clip from the song, and you tell me if you can figure it out.
I'm a little handicapped. Am I going to be offended?
Oh, Brian.
And it's like – it's a song like from my youth, a song like Do the Hustle. Mm-hmm. Is that an entire ableist song?
Oh, sure, because you can stand up and do the hustle.
You're telling everyone to move to your right and move to your left. And dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I didn't see a lot of people with stroke canes or wheelchairs.
The hokey-pokey is problematic.
Oh, my God. You can't do that anymore.
Macarena, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, so you tell me if you can find the offensive word.
Hold my bag, bitch. Hold my bag. Do you see this shit? I'm a spaz.
Oh, obviously, yeah.
Spaz.
Spaz is no bueno.
I thought it was because she's saying hold my bag.
Yeah, as though you have arms to hold it. No, it's the word spaz. And by the way, do you know how many reports I had to go through to find the word?
Oh, they blurred it out.
SP asterisk asterisk asterisk. And I was like, what word can this be? Yeah. And they wouldn't even print it. So,
Is that sunblock or is it a slur? What's this SP short for?
Thank you.
And then... And also, hold my bag, bitch, doesn't sound particularly friendly either.
So she has already changed the song. Yeah.
She also sampled the Beastie Boys on that one.
She did?
Yeah, the beginning sounds like girls.
Brian?
Oh, did you hear it again?
All right.
Look at you with the Beastie Boys.
Oh, well, yeah. Sadly, I know it.
Go ahead.
Like
hold my bag, bitch. Hold my bag.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
I'm a spaz.
Yeah. Oh, can we bleep that out?
Yeah, find girls and find that.
No, that's it. That's
so
it.
So now they got a case against.
That's right.
Well, I don't know. I don't know the difference. So there's a sampling where you go, hey, may we sample your song? Like a Weird Al.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
You just go, hey, Paul McCartney, may I use your song to talk about. Whatever stupid, he gets too much credit. He way too much credit. But anyway, everyone loves him. Fine. But then there's the stuff that just, that's clearly girls. And I don't know if
she's ask for
going.
That.
Does she asking for it?
I would guess, yes, they have to pay for it. However, the Beast Boys would have a lot of balls to sue at this point because they made their career of unlicensed sampling.
Well,
early on.
Also, good point. Lizzo's 27 and a half, like, maybe this is her producer just going, hey, I got a cool riff.
My guess is they paid for it.
Yeah.
Really?
It's just so obvious. Well, I bet they paid for it.
But that's a good point. With the Beastie Boys having beef over that.
Yeah, they would never sue. No.
Well, we'll hear it and we'll. Oh, confirmed she sampled it from the song. So she did sample it and she did pay for it, evidently. All right. Well, there you go.
Dare we hear girls? Or
well,
we
could, but now we know.
Now we know. Okay,
they did.
Great. Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber is having some wild times.
This is sad.
So you've probably heard about this. Oh,
I didn't hear.
Have you not been watching TMZ? He loves TMZ.
I watch TMZ every. First off, how dare you march in here and accuse me of not watching TMZ?
Oh, then this is going to blow your mind because this has been a fucking headline every day. So he's been diagnosed with something called Ramsey-Hunt syndrome.
No.
And it's a rare complication of shingles. So, which I guess makes it some sort of herpes because it's like chicken pox, shingles, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It attacks a nerve in your ear. It can paralyze half your face, which has happened to him. I'm going to show you. Around 5 out of 100,000 people per year seem to get it. And it's common among people over 60 that are immunocompromised. So I guess he's been working too hard.
You know, this is on me because I was watching TMZ as I always do. And it was like, oh, Britney Spears got married.
We'll get
and
there.
Her first husband showed up and crashed a party and all that. And then like a picture of Bieber's came up, and then like my phone rang, and I like turned it down, and I was like, "All right, he's dropping a new album."
No,
or
this
something.
Is crazy.
And then I just kind of slid past it, and then picked it up again.
This is really like a thing. Like you've heard of like Bell's palsy,
yeah,
where you just kind of wake up with it and you can't move half your face. Well, that That's what it looks like. Also, apparently, and Dr. Drew obviously will know more about this, but the symptoms are ringing in the ear, ear pain, hearing loss, sensation of spinning, a little vertigo, change of taste and smell, dry mouth, dry eyes. So Justin, and the clip is really long, so I just did a little snippet. But here's a little clip of Bieber talking about his struggles. Now, just for us in the studio, notice – really take attention to his face. One of his eyes won't blink. One of the side of his mouth won't move. So just watch.
I hope you guys understand. And I'll be using this time to just rest and relax and get back to 100% so that I can do what I was born to do. But in the meantime,
yeah,
this ain't it.
If your face gets frozen, it's good that you look like Justin
Bieber.
That's
also true, yeah.
Yeah, it's just frozen in hotness.
Sure.
Yeah.
You think that neighbor, remember when he egged the neighbor's house?
Yeah, sure.
Think that guy's happy?
Probably.
And it's like, well, that's fucking payback's a bitch.
That's right.
Karma's a
bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. Not saying it would have prevented this.
No,
I'm just saying there's one guy that's happy that he got. Probably doesn't want him to die of it or anything, but just happy he had a setback. That's the neighbor in like Calabasas where he ate his house.
Yeah.
So it's does fair. He have to just wait this out? Or
it's curable just by, I guess, like getting your immune system back to where it needs to be, like chickenpox and shingles and all that shit.
Mm. Yeah. There's just no like time frame on, you just don't know exactly when you're going to wake up.
Right. Because it's a virus, so you can't, antibiotics aren't going to do anything.
I always wonder how much money everyone has. I mean, I know he's doing okay.
He's fine.
But I don't know anyone could be like, I'm just going to take about 6 months off.
So I can
just
see how it goes.
Get recentered here.
That's right.
Regroup.
Rest.
Like, just rest up and recover. Like, could you imagine that?
No.
Celebrity net worth has me at $500,000.
Really?
And they're only off by about $490,000 or so.
Yeah.
So I don't know who's doing their research, but I almost fucking called them just to be like, just want to let you guys know, whoever's giving you that info, fire them.
Well, I was told I'm a millionaire. Adam was told he has the same net worth as Weird Al. So they're a little all over the place.
Hmm.
Our producer, Chris, figured out he had a $9 million net worth.
Yeah, I don't know where this comes from.
I don't know where it comes from either. Maybe they figured you're doing the gay porn, though. Maybe they figured like you're hammering those checks.
Right.
But we should
residuals
talk to them.
On those.
Yeah, we should definitely talk to them.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk about that Britney Spears wedding because we haven't gotten to it, and it's just some fun footage. So one of her first acts as a newly married woman is to get a restraining order against her ex-husband, Jason Alexander. Not the Seinfeld Jason Alexander. A judge granted...
He crashed a party.
Oh, well, he crashed the pre-party.
Right.
Temporary restraining order against first husband Jason, as well as hitting with a stalking charge. On Thursday, before the wedding, he arrived uninvited at the estate. He streamed live, giving like, what's up, everybody? Jason Alexander here, blah, 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 on Instagram, armed with a knife. So here's a clip, and this was long, and then it would like, because they're in Calabasas or something, the Wi-Fi kept going out, especially
here's
when
the problem with the wedding
in.
And this. Like, the guy could, you be Britney.
Okay.
And I'll be her husband-to-be, whatever
the real
name
one?
Is.
Sam Asghari.
Sam Asghari. Okay. And we can find out that your ex showed up with a knife, and he was recording the whole thing, and talking to the camera and putting it up on the internet and everything. And the problem is it starts off as this guy showed up, he had a knife, he was your ex. And anyway, Brittany, we got security and we got him out of there. So nothing's going to ruin this precious day.
Oh, good. Because I have like 14,000 bales of pink roses that I had flown in. And I really want this to be a perfect day because this is my dream.
Madonna's going to be here.
Maria Menounos. Everybody's
going
to be here.
You're
going
to reenact the whole Kiss thing.
That's right. We're going to dance. We're going to sing like a virgin.
Thank God we got this guy off the property. He had a knife. He was a maniac. And
so glad he's gone.
So we can move on. But you thought it was a good idea to fuck this guy 9 years ago?
Well, remember, we were only
married. Understand, this isn't a crazed homeless guy.
I
this
understand.
Is a guy you blew.
No, I did.
You understand?
Blow him.
Like,
yeah,
at some point.
We did.
Hold on, the wedding planner. Yeah, give us 10 minutes.
Yeah, we need five.
The guests are seated. They're ready to go.
I just want to make a few.
Yeah, honey, we should probably get going.
I just want to alter my vows just a little bit here.
Oh, okay, well, I mean,
yeah, you got a Sharpie?
Copy of the script.
Just give us a minute here. You fuck this guy. You think that was a fucking
good... I know. We were childhood
friends. Do you think
friends.
He's here by coincidence or is he only here because you gave up the pussy so many years ago?
It's probably because I gave up the pussy so many years
and
ago.
Now, but by the way, how's your picker working? You know what I mean?
I'd like to think it's fixed
out of
now,
all the
Sam.
Guys. I mean, you're Britney fucking Spears. You know what I mean? You could have been with any count, any millionaire,
you
any athlete.
You want,
but he gave me his juice box when we were in third grade. I'll never forget it.
Hi, it's me again. DJ is making announcements, and the guests can hear
me. Sam, let's go get married. What do you say?
They're just 12 feet away on the other side of this trellis.
Hi, guys.
We love you, Britney.
Oh, love you.
You know she was fucking this guy. With that. It wasn't a homeless guy.
Okay, Sam.
He wasn't a crazed fan. She used to blow that guy.
This is how we joke.
No, it's not.
It's me again. I feel
fucking
like
guy. She was married to him. This isn't some guy.
Duty
that just...
to remind you, you're both wearing mic packs.
Oh.
All right. Well, listen. I'm inviting.
On, baby,
I'm
you
inviting
say?
Your mom.
No.
Yes.
Not Jamie.
I want
Lynn
her to know who
one.
You are. You. This is your first husband.
No. Guy. He came over for my second
the
grade
knife
birthday.
Wielding guy who's filming himself wrestling with
the
security.
Didn't do it then. Come on.
Where's Madonna?
Oh, no.
She out there?
Sam.
Miss Ciccone is seated in the fourth row.
Okay. Are you guys going to have to do that fucking weird tongue kiss you did from MTV when I was 9?
Yeah, otherwise are nobody else will watch the video.
Can you at least keep your pants on? Just please keep your pants on.
I'll
for
keep
this.
My blazer on. How about that?
Oh, damn it.
Let's go get married.
Is there anyone else you blew who may show up with a hunting knife just so you can give me kind of a heads up before we go out there?
That is literally, that consists of the entire audience of this wedding.
Mr. Timberlake is in row 3.
That's right.
Oh, yuck. And scene.
Okay, so
wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you. We rehearsed that for days.
That's right.
Here's a clip of Jason Alexander live streaming when he crashes the pre-wedding, setting up all the final shit, and right when he gets taken
it's
down.
Not the time you want to crash.
Yeah.
I'm Jason Alexander, first husband. Oh, I'm here to crash the wedding, bro.
Bro.
Fuck that. They're not. So here's the inside scoop, guys, of the bullshit wedding. Jason Alexander. What's up? You love roses?
You'll love this guy coming up, Adam.
Michael, that's Michael, guys. It's Jason. First husband, here to crash it.
Oh, my God.
No, my name's Jason Alexander. Brittany invited me here. Brittany Spears invited me here. She's my first wife, my only wife. I'm her first husband. I'm here to crash the wedding because nobody's here but Sam. So where the fuck's the family and
that's
where's the
security
Kate right there?
There.
Kate! Kate! Come here, Kate!
If he just played it a little cooler, he could have hung out for an hour.
Yeah. They tussle and then shit goes black.
Yeah, he could have just said Candy Graham.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And go buy himself an extra 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm here to crash. Well, oh, you are, because we have security for people that are here.
Exactly.
Here to crash.
So they got a restraining order. But yeah, Maria Menounos, Kathy Hilton, Paris Hilton, Drew Barrymore, Madonna, Selena Gomez. But a smallish wedding. Definitely the family was not there.
Yeah, they then Sam
Ashgari.
Because I was watching TMZ.
Sure, we've heard.
He showed up at like the, you know, Dunkin' Donuts in Calabasas or something the next day, driving a white Rolls Royce with the flower bouquet in the back, and the just married still there.
Oh, playing
and
it.
He was miffed that the paparazzi
oh, sure.
were onto him. He was like, "Hey man, can I have a little of my own space?"
Hey guys, I'm trying to fly under the radar here, not draw any attention to myself.
He's got a pearl white Rolls Royce with the just married shit, and the full
the
floral
bouquet.
Arrangement is still on the trunk.
That's awesome.
Of the car, so at some point,
just leave him alone, guys.
He didn't want to raise attention.
That's
he
right.
pulled it off.
That's great. Right.
But he probably could have done that without before he left the house.
And maybe take a different car.
That's right. Get like a Chrysler K car
right.
with a little Bondo on the fender and slide right
yes.
under the radar.
But they do have a prenup.
Even though she's not under conservatorship, somebody is handling her money, which is good because apparently it's ironclad. If they get divorced, Sam doesn't get a dime.
Do you think there's a thing like, you know how when there's a sort of argument, especially with men and women, the guy or the woman will like come back with like nothing burgers a lot. Mm-hmm. And like, do you think he did a thing where she's like, she had to say like, hey, look, I have a prenup. Mm-hmm. And then he had to like go, well, yeah, you know what? I got a prenup too. So all those beanie babies, those are going with me.
You pay as yourself.
And I know you've been checking out the rims on that Jeep.
Yeah.
Guess what rims are staying on the Jeep when I drive out of here?
Not the rims.
I'm not giving two of them to you.
Oh.
All right, and then I got
my
certificate from finishing a pig's trough at Farrell's. It's a Valley reference. Keeping that shit too. So whatever. And I don't know what's on your shit.
And this is firm.
I got my own stuff.
No wiggle room.
I got a crescent wrench.
Okay.
I got a batting helmet. I got it helmet night at Dodger Stadium. I got a windbreaker. I got it at Santa Anita. It's all coming with me.
Hey, it's your wedding planner. I know this isn't my place.
Sorry.
But the White Rolls Royce is ready to go with the flowers in the back and the just married. I know that was important to you.
Yeah, I'm taking it down to five guys.
Yeah, do what you got to do.
Wow.
Yeah, this is the picture of it. But he drove.
Huh. So discreet.
He made a Starbucks run the next morning.
Wow. Low profile.
To drive and go get the Starbucks in the same vehicle.
Yeah, he just wants to be left alone, guys.
All right.
Okay.
I'm the same way with the guys who like leave Craig's on a Saturday night. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, what's with the paparazzi? Oh, no questions answered here. Like, don't go to fucking Craig's.
Yeah.
You should know by now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Jerry's Deli every 15 feet. Go there.
Yes. All right. One more.
All right. Well, actually, Natanya, you might be interested in this, and there might be a role for you, and maybe me. The script for the sequel to Joaquin Phoenix's Joker is complete.
Oh,
and did you hear, Brian?
Yes,
it seems to be a musical.
What?
Lady Gaga is in early talks to join the sequel, likely as Harley Quinn, is the whisperings. Joaquin Phoenix read the script, not committed just yet to this musical. It was revealed on social media that the title of the new project is Joker Folie à Deux, which apparently references a medical term for an identical or similar mental disorder that affects two or more individuals, usually family members or someone in the family.
He was Johnny Cash, right?
He was.
So he could do it.
That's right.
You pull it off.
Todd Phillips will direct the film for Warner Brothers. He produced A Star is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper. Joker musical.
I never saw the Joker because I felt like I was going to get depressed.
It's very depressing.
It's heavy.
It's not a fun movie.
Yeah, it's definitely heavy.
It's not fun, but I got to say, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. I've probably seen it 20 times.
It's done really well.
Maybe it's our version or this version or my son's 16, you know, his version of like Midnight Express. Everyone's like, such a good movie, but
never want to see it again.
I just don't want to see it.
Yeah,
you know?
Like Leaving Las Vegas. We can all agree it's a great movie. No, I don't want to see that shit again.
Yeah. Right. One and done.
Yeah, I've not seen
it. It's very good, but it's not fun.
But you know, they've done the opposite because on Broadway there was Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and it was a fucking disaster.
Yeah, they're having all those mishaps and injuries and, you know, what could go wrong?
That's exactly
putting cables on actors and slinging them across the stage and guys were crashing into shit.
Exactly.
And that was
20 years ago. I thought 20?
I wasn't 2 years ago. Now we have to. Now,
well, you know your Broadway, Adam.
I remember it was an older story.
I'll say it was 15-ish years ago because the Spider-Man movies kind of broke through in like 2000, 2001.
Yeah, 2010.
Oh, okay. Well, right in the middle.
Good.
But 12 years.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home,
you
Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Happy masturbating.
Yeah.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, there's Blinds Galore. They're having a massive 4th of July sale. It starts next week. You can celebrate with 50% off all custom blinds and shades. Get your free samples today. And when you're ready, let's get started. It starts Wednesday, June 29th, and I have them actually at home. I have them in my office. I have them in my edit bays. It's blinds galore. Dr. Drew has them in his pool house, by the way, and his bedroom as well. I don't know if you knew that, Paul Bryan. You can save a ton.
Right.
Yeah, it's up in his master bedroom. Save a ton compared to a big box store designer look without the designer price tag. Family owned and run over 20 years. You can do it all from home. Take the measurements, customize it online, and your blinds and shades will show up. And by the way, you can see exactly what it's going to look like online before you even squeeze the trigger. So get started with Blinds Galore. Am I right, Dawson?
Order your free samples today so you'll be ready when Blinds Galore's 4th of July sale starts next week, and everything will be up to 50% off. Visit BlindsGalore.com today and let them know that we sent you. That's BlindsGalore.com.
All right. Let me give a plug out one more time. HopeOfTheValley.org is where you can go to help these saints who are helping those who have trouble helping themselves. Natanya, thanks so much for joining us today. And Sean as well. And come back and keep us updated, please. And congratulations on all the sobriety. You can go to AdamCarolla.com. I'm going to be doing live shows coming up. Denver Comedy Works. We'll do some live pods there and some stand-up there. That'll be June 24th and 25th. Until next time. Adam Carolla for Sean Weiss, Natanya Ross, Gina Grad, Paul Bryan. Say it. Mahalo.
As a black, fat woman in America, I've had many hurtful words used against me.
You can watch this episode of The Adam Carolla Show at youtube.com/Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see The Ace Man now at adamcarolla.com.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.